This morning we're going to look at Psalm 100 and we're going to see the words of a man who is very excited about God. Let's look at verse 1. He says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth." The psalmist is summoning all the earth to shout for joy to God. God is so great, and he is worthy of all the earth to shout for joy to him. The psalmist is so excited about God, he can't contain his excitement. You see, it's not enough for just him to shout for joy to God. It's not even enough for him to call God's people to shout for joy to God. He's so excited about God, he calls all the earth to shout for joy to God. The psalmist's excitement about God is unmistakable. But why is he so excited about God? Well, he's going to tell us. We're going to see why he's so excited as we work our way through the psalm. But first, he's going to tell us to sing to God with joy. Let's look at verse 2. "Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs." God wants us to sing to him. And not just when we're at church, but when we're at home, when we're driving in the car, anywhere, everywhere. God wants us to sing to him as much as we can. And this flows out of our excitement about God. You see, if we're excited about God, we'll want to sing to him. And we'll sing to him with joy. God wants us to sing to him with joy. Now, singing with joy is quite a natural thing for people to do, isn't it? Often people want to sing when they're happy. Well, God wants us to be happy in him, and so sing with joy to him. He's the one who's given us voices to sing. He's the one who's made it possible for us to experience joy. And he's done this so that we'd sing to him with joy. Now, not all of us can sing well. Some of us can sing better than others. Some of us have beautiful voices. Some of us can sing in tune. Some of us can sing in tune sometimes. Some of us can sing in tune but struggle to stay in time. Some of us can't sing in tune. We're tone deaf. But we can all sing with joy, even if we're really out of tune. God doesn't call us to sing in tune. He knows many of us can't. He's the one who gave us our voices. He doesn't call us to sing in tune. He calls us to sing with joy. He wants us to sing to him with joy. He's looking for joy, not beautiful voices. So let me encourage us to sing with joy, even if we're completely tone deaf. Even if we couldn't hold a note if our life depended on it, God wants us to sing to him with joy. The psalmist goes on to tell us to know who God is and what he's done for us. And we start to see why he's so excited about God. Let's look at verse 3. "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." The psalmist says, "Know that the Lord is God." Now notice "Lord" is in capital letters. And whenever we see this in the Old Testament, it's referring to the name God gave himself when he appeared to Moses in the burning bush. Let's look at Exodus 3, 13 and 14. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." This is what you are to say to the Israelites: "I am has sent me to you." God didn't have a name. He's the infinite, eternal God. He wasn't born and his parents gave him a name. He's God. But Moses knew the Israelites would ask what God's name is. So God graciously condescended and gave himself a name that the Israelites would know him by. It would be their personal name for God. I am. Now, I reckon that's the best name God could have chosen for himself, because he just is. He always has been, and he always will be. He is. Now, some of us may have had Jehovah's Witnesses come and knock on our door and tell us God's name is Jehovah. And if we don't call God Jehovah, then we're doing the wrong thing by God, because they say God wants to be known by his name. So where do they get the name Jehovah from? Well, you won't find it in your Bible. In 1520, a guy named Gallatinus worked out that the Hebrew word for God's name would be pronounced Jehovah in English. But modern scholars have actually worked out it should be pronounced Yahweh. But I prefer to follow the lead of the New Testament writers, who never refer to God as Yahweh or Jehovah. They refer to him mainly as God or Father and sometimes Lord. But Lord mainly refers to Jesus in the New Testament. And in John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus is the one who claims to be the I Am of the Old Testament. So if Jehovah's Witnesses ever come knocking on your door and say you need to call God Jehovah, just ask them to show you where the New Testament writers call God Jehovah. I did this once and they didn't know what to say, so quickly changed the subject. So I hope that all gives you a bit of clarity about what Lord in capital letters means and where the words Jehovah and Yahweh come from. We don't need to use them, and I don't think we should use them, because the New Testament writers, who show us how to interpret the Old Testament, don't use them. And if it's good enough for them, I think it should be good enough for us. We should follow their example. So when the psalmist says, "Know that the Lord is God," he's telling us we need to truly know who God is, that God is God, that he's the only God. He's the eternal God who made the heavens and the earth. In verse 3, the psalmist goes on to say that God made us. And he means by this that God created us and he saved us. He made us in the sense that he created us. He gave us life. And he also made us in the sense that he made us his people. He saved us. God made us his people. Because when he made us by creating us, that didn't automatically make us his people. Because we were born in rebellion against him. We weren't his people. We were the devil's people. But through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, God made us his people by giving us the Holy Spirit, who caused us to be born again and put our trust in Jesus to save us. And the psalmist says we're not only God's people, we're also his sheep. God is our shepherd. This is a beautiful picture, isn't it? I'm sure most of us know Psalm 23, probably the most famous psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. God is our shepherd. He looks after us. He provides for us. He protects us from those who want to destroy us, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And you know what else our shepherd does for us, his sheep? He lays down his life for us. Let's look at John 10, 11, where the Lord Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And you know what else our shepherd does for us, his sheep? He gives us eternal life. Let's look at John 10, 27 and 28, where the Lord Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." What a wonderful shepherd we have. A shepherd who lays down his life for us to make us his people. A shepherd who gives us eternal life so we can be his people forever. It's so good to be his sheep. So how should we respond? How should we respond to the God who's made us his people forever? Let's look at verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. That's how we should respond, with thanks and praise. God wants us to thank him and praise him for who he is and for what he's done for us. Now, when this psalm was written, enter his gates and courts referred to the temple, because that's where God's people had to go to worship him. But because of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's people don't have to go to a temple anymore. The temple was pointing forward to Jesus. Jesus said he's God's temple. And as God's people living on this side of the cross, we're also God's temple, because God lives in us by his Spirit. So we don't have to go to a building to come into God's presence. We can come into God's presence anywhere, anytime, through prayer. That's amazing, isn't it? And God wants us to come into his presence as much as possible. He wants us to come before him with thanks and praise. He wants us to thank him and praise him for who he is and for what he's done for us. But the psalmist isn't done yet. He wants to tell us about God's goodness, love, and faithfulness. And we see further why he's so excited about God. Let's look at verse 5. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. The psalmist is so excited about God because he has personally experienced God's love, goodness, and faithfulness. He personally knows the God who is good, who is love, and who is faithful. And so do we, if we put our trust in Christ. We personally know the God who is infinitely good to us, the God who will love us forever, the God who will be faithful to us forever, the God who laid down his life for us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, so we could be his people forever. If we truly understand this, we can't help but be excited when we think about it. There's nothing compared to knowing the infinite, eternal God who died for us so we could live with him forever. But how often do we get excited about God? If you're anything like me, then not enough. Why is that? We know the infinite, eternal God. Why aren't we excited about him all the time? I want to suggest because we don't think about him enough. If we thought about God all the time, then we'd probably be excited about him all the time. But our thoughts of God are too few. And I've said this many times, but it's so fundamental I can never say it enough. We need to read God's word and pray every day. We've got no hope of being excited about God without listening to him by reading his word and talking to him in prayer. Let's ask God to forgive us for not being excited about him like we should be, knowing that our sins are forgiven because of the blood of Jesus. Praise God. And let's ask God to change us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's ask him to make us people who are excited about him as much as possible, because he wants us to be excited about him, the God who is worthy of all the earth to shout for joy to him. Let's pray. Father, you are worthy of all the earth to shout for joy to you. You are the infinite, eternal God, who always has been and who always will be. You are matchless. You are transcendent. You are majestic and glorious. Father, you are worthy of all worship, of all praise, of all glory and honor. Father, we want to be people who are excited about you and who can't help but singing to you with joy, to worship you with joy. Father, please, by your grace and by the power of your Spirit, make our thoughts of you many. Father, may you be the thing that we think about most in this world, that we won't be able to go minutes, let alone hours, without thinking of you, without thanking you for who you are and for all that you've done for us, and praising you for who you are. Father, give us a greater passion for you, a greater love for you, a greater sense of wonder at your greatness and your glory and your goodness and your grace. And we pray these things through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.